It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger, along with my buddy Nathan Forlina. We're smack dab, still middle of the summer, but we got college football
middle
coming.
Middle of the summer?
It's late summer. Late summer. You're right. Late summer.
We ain't in the middle.
We're smack dab in summer.
That's better.
Because it's still, 90 degrees almost. So,
yeah.
But I was at an event today. I was speaking at the Blair County Convention Center along with Steve Jones and Neil Riddell. They had us up for the Blair Chamber of Commerce thing. So they put us up on stage and we were answering questions about college football in Penn State. And like 125 people there. It was pretty darn good turnout. It was pretty cool. And we took questions from the audience. And what do you think like the most important pressing questions were? No, here's the thing. Nobody asked about James Franklin.
Okay, I was about to say,
but because we were in a room and everybody gets a little nervous in crowds, I think people wanted to ask about James Franklin, but maybe that's a little touchy for some people. So
that was gonna be my first guess. Yeah. Was, do you think James Franklin can get over the hump? That would have been my guess of what they were asking. So maybe a lot of Drew Aller questions.
No, it was actually NIL.
Okay, a lot of NIL. So it's a lot more broader stuff.
It's more broad. Receivers.
Yeah, okay.
The receivers was good.
Okay.
Some business stuff. So what I did, as I'm known to do, we'll take whatever we're talking about and then we'll do a quick transition over here. So after going through this for about 20 minutes or so, and I'm seeing that nobody wants to ask about James Franklin, I brought up James Franklin.
About to say, Corey loves to stir the pot and get into the controversy.
It's not stirring the pot. It's
you know how James Franklin is perceived.
I know. I can read people's minds. I truly can. I've done this a lot.
Was there a gasp after you said James Franklin?
No, but I know what people want to talk about. But sometimes when you're in a large group gathering, people don't want to be the a-hole bringing it up. You know what
I'm
saying?
I know.
So what I brought up was exactly what you and I talk about on the show. That I said, well, if you want to ask me about James Franklin, I'll say, do you have about 5 hours? Because there's a lot to talk about. But I said, hey, maybe the best CEO in college football, the stability he brings. You go back to 2016, they don't lose guys in the portal, all the things you've heard, Nathan, a 100 times. And then I transition into very subtly, because, you're trying to play the room of an excited group of 120 Penn State fans that paid good money to be there this morning. So I'm like, yeah, I still have doubts about him as a game coach and blah, blah, and big games. So you get that part in there.
You want to throw the jab. You want
Correct.
To throw, there it is.
And then you go back to, but if they can figure all that out. You see what I'm getting at? Because we all know that still, that is still going to be the biggest question.
I mean, I can literally picture you on stage doing this because I see
you see me right here.
I'm like, I can see exactly.
Yeah.
Because the two, who was it, Steve and Neil?
Steve was in the middle, and Neil's on the left.
Guarantee they didn't bring that up until the second you, and then they were like.
But see, I know, and I did it in a very professional, casual way, because I don't want to beat around the bush with a question that I know everyone. Because the question
I
is, do you think James Franklin can win big games?
I do hate when people beat around the bush to get to something. It's like just say it or ask the question because everybody's thinking it.
It was funny.
It's just awkward at that point I can imagine being in a room with 125 Penn State, I'm assuming they're fans, right? They're all fans.
Yes.
Penn State fans.
All of them wondering if James Franklin can win a big game, but all of them wondering, will somebody else ask it?
Exactly. They don't want to be that guy because they might have James Franklin calling them, telling them how they're an idiot and how he's going to get them over the hump and all this kind
of stuff. Well, hey, look, this is this is what I do. I bring them up. I'm like a real life Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm going to bring it up, and whether you want to talk about it
or not. That reference sneaks in once a week. I know. You love that reference.
I don't. Here's the great point. I don't even watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I only saw like 15 episodes out of probably more than 100. They did like 14 seasons or something ridiculous. But
yeah, he did.
I know what the show is about. Anyway, so see if you can read my mind here.
Okay.
Because you're very good at this. So I was asked about something, and I said, if that part of the team is good, they can win the national championship. What was I talking about?
I'm thinking the receiver,
the wide receivers.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because if you think about it, this is not a secret to anybody. They've got pieces in place at a lot of the other areas. Obviously, you got to stay healthy. But I said, you know, point blank, if the receivers are as good as people are hoping they can be, they can win the national championship. And they can, because for all the things you and I talked about 2 weeks ago on our show of three reasons why Penn State could win the national title, three reasons why Penn State might not win the national title. And experience was the biggest one, really, I think, for both of us. But the receivers were definitely a huge component.
Yeah, that is the biggest question mark as somebody who's going to pull for Penn State here. That's the biggest question mark I have, is the fact that you bring in these top guys. You bring in Trevor Peña, Hudson. Who else they bring in? I always forget the other guy's name.
Yeah, the guy from he had like 80 catches last year.
Yeah, oh my god.
Was it Central Florida? Where was he from? I'm drawing a blank too here.
I gotta look it up because now
it bugs me. But
Ross from Troy.
They brought in guys that you think can make a difference. And if they do, sky's the limit. If they don't, there's a potential loss to Iowa. There's also Oregon, Ohio State. I mean, you never know how things are going
to
go.
Yeah, and I think we've been waiting for the Drew Aller development and him taking the next step to being what was a five-star quarterback and many people believe can be a top pick in the draft. And while we've, you know, doubted him because of the plays he makes, we've also always added in that little caveat, the fact that the receivers have stunk for his entire tenure that he's been there. So this year, if his receivers pan out like they're supposed to, there's no excuses now. I mean, like we've been saying, this has drug them down the last 2 years.
Yep.
It's a big reason why they lost Ohio State 2 years ago. It's a big reason why they lost Notre Dame last year. It's because the receivers were not productive. You brought in three guys that you're expecting to make a huge difference, your new 1, 2, and 3. Granted, they're filling a gigantic void with Tyler Warren not being there, but listen, if you have weapons on the outside and you have that back in the backs with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, you're competing for a national championship if they can fill their role correctly.
We have a terrific Pirates guest coming up here in 5 minutes. So I'm going to kind of break this into two because I do want to mention this while I was discussing being with Steve Jones this morning. We're going to talk some Pirates here because I got a great guest. He wrote a great column today. It's very pertinent and timely with, you know, everything's going on this week with the Brewers winning 12 in a row, giving away free burgers to the city. But before that, so Steve's sitting to my left this morning, and I brought up this great, it's 2006. I didn't realize this was 19 years ago. But I was at this game, the Purdue-Penn State game, where Jack Ham, well, you'll hear what Jack says.
Allowed the voice of the Nittany Lions, Steve Jones, to prove how well he prepares for every broadcast.
Should be the last play of the game. Down the middle, it's caught. They flip it back to Bryant. Bryant flips it back to Taylor, flips it back to Painter, and he fumbles the ball. It's loose in the turf. Keller goes after it, picks it up, flips it over his shoulder. It's a scramble on the field. It's picked up by Orton, who's tackled by Poslowski, who flips it back to Standerford, and it's still loose in the field. Taylor back at the 35-yard line. Taylor breaks the tackle to the 40. Taylor now flips it back to Standerford, throws it across the field. Picked off by Gage, 35, 30.
That is the best play-by-play I have ever heard. Do you know why?
Why is that?
10 different people touched the ball on that play, Nathan.
Okay.
9 of them were from Purdue. How long did it take Steve Jones to decipher who had the ball after each lateral?
Tenth of a second.
A quarter of a second.
Yeah.
He had the entire Purdue roster memorized by number. And if you can watch the video like we just were, The ball changes hands like 10 times. I mean, and it goes to Forlina, and Forlina tosses it 40 yards across the field to Geiger. Geiger fumbles it. It's picked up by Jones. And Steve was able to pick up the number. You ever thought about this? Steve was able to pick up the number of the player and know within a quarter of a second which opposing player that was on 10 different players within the scope of about 30 seconds.
That's pretty impressive.
So when Jack mentions that's the best play-by-play I've ever heard, so I mentioned that to Steve today, and he got a kick out of it. And he even said, well, if Josh Gaines would have scored a touchdown, because he remembered the play, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea. We can do this again. We have a Pirates guest coming up. Who is your all-time favorite play-by-play broadcaster? All right? So we can play. We've done this before. We had a disagreement. Nathan and I almost came to blows over Dick Vitale. And we might again. Nathan's over here speaking blasphemy about
I'll continue to speak blasphemy.
So 946-0435. If you wanna jump in on it's kind of a fun topic again. I think Steve does a tremendous job on Penn State football. I'm not a fan of Steve's on Penn State basketball. I think it's way too over the top. But on Penn State football, and I will stand by it. I think that's the best play-by-play that you will ever hear, ever, for the simple reason that that guy knew every single opposing player on the other team's roster in the blink of an eye on crazy laterals. I don't think to be that most players wouldn't know that about their own team's players. Mm-hmm. You know, here's Aller. He tosses it back to Singleton. Singleton tosses it over to Ross. Ross tosses it to Hudson. Hudson tosses it to Rapalje. To be able to come up with that quickly, I've always marveled. So every time I see Steve, I kind of make mention of that play.
Are you good with numbers and players? Because I feel like that's a big thing.
I'm good with numbers of players that teams that I cover. I mean, I know who I'm looking for the Penn State players or okay. Curve Pirates or whatever. But the opposing, hell no. Nobody knows. Outside of the two or three stars, mm-hmm. nobody knows the numbers of all the opposing players.
I always, because that's always a fascinating conversation that's brought up between me and other people because people don't know numbers. And I'm not the best at numbers either. Now, it takes a second for me to dig it out because
right.
usually I can dig it out or I can make the connections. But it's fascinating to me because some people I think are extremely good at it and know everything, whether it's like.
But you got to understand, this is a football broadcaster.
Yeah. Yes.
He's 80 yards away.
I was just about to say, you have to see the numbers on the field.
You're not.
I couldn't see a phone symbol 2 feet in front of me.
Yeah, the broadcasters are not right there. To, you know, field level or 20 yards away. They're up, you know, especially at Penn State, you're way the heck up. Steve joked today that when you're at Ohio State, you can see New Jersey because Ohio Stadium, you're way, way, way high. Michigan State's the same way. But to be able to pick up guys from that far away is pretty remarkable, well, those numbers.
It's pretty impressive. And then again, in that split second that you know exactly who it is,
yeah,
got to give him props. It's pretty good.
We're going to take one phone call here. Because I got a couple people calling you. I think it's Jake here from Altoona. I think it's Jake or Jamie. I'm not sure. But then I got to get to our Pirates guest because we got a great discussion. But we will get back to this throughout the day. All right, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jai. I'm going to call her.
Oh, Jai. Okay, very good. How you doing, bud?
Hey, not too bad. How you been?
All right, bud.
Hey, I got to go with Myron Cope.
All right, very good.
I loved him when he did the Bengals.
Okay, so you grew up with Myron Cope, I take it, right?
Yes. Yes.
You may have not ever heard me tell this story. So I move here in 1999. I'm listening to a Steelers game on the radio. And this incompetent-sounding bozo is saying incompetent, nonsensical things left and right. And I had never heard of Myron Cope. I had no idea who he was. Okay? I didn't grow up with the Steelers. I heard an incompetent-sounding bozo saying one stupid thing after another. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell does this guy get on the radio? All right? Then I found out who Myron Cope was. Legendary, all this stuff. Known for his shtick. Known for sounding incompetent and nonsensical. Obviously, the terrible towel. But do you see where I'm coming from, Jai? That if you didn't grow up with Myron Cope and you didn't know the deal with Myron Cope, I'm sitting there thinking like, who the holy bleep put this guy on the radio?
That's what we all thought as fans. Wow, who's this guy?
Over the next few years, and I never got to meet
Myron. It's like a Yinzer just in the booth. That's what it probably sounded like.
And over the next few years, I never got to meet Myron, but I did listen to him, and it grew on me. I grew up as a Cubs fan with Harry Carey. Harry Carey was probably every bit as annoying as Myron Cope or anybody else, but
yeah.
He's the guy I listen to all the time, so you just kind of get used to it.
Right. Yeah, me and my first wife, we always listen to Myron.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Well, always got kicks from him.
I always like telling the Myron Cope stories. All right. John Parato from Pittsburgh Baseball Now is going to join us after this. I hate to kind of digress from a football subject, but this is a great baseball subject that is very timely this week. So we're not going to talk about the Pirates a whole lot the rest of the season, most likely. But this is a good subject. He wrote a great column today. So we're going to get to that, and we will take your phone calls a little bit later on your favorite broadcaster.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
When it's more than just your lawn, it deserves the Kubota Z400. Get a head-turning offer on class-leading speed, agility, simple deck height adjustments, and a quality cut. When you need comfort and performance, then you need the professional-grade Kubota Z400. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 1.99% APR for up to 48 months, or save up to $250. Now through September 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Test drive the Kubota Z-Series tractors today. Call McCoy's Lawn and Garden, 814-224-5335.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
T&L Moore Enterprises.
T&L Moore Enterprises.
Owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales. They want to help you beat the heat with this hot summer deal.
Beat the heat.
Get $10 off any repair service when you spend $100, $30 off when you spend $200, and $50 off when you spend $300. And right now, get an air conditioning performance check, including overall test of your cooling system, inspection of hoses and connections, check of fan and blower, dry belt and hose check, and temperature output check. All for just $59.99. Make an appointment today and stay cool and safe at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
Welcome back. We'll get back to our baseball guest here shortly. I wasn't able to connect with him on the phone, so we'll do that here in a second. I can sneak in Nebraska Man here in the meantime with our broadcaster discussion. Nebraska Man, who's your favorite play-by-play broadcaster, man?
Corey, I got two. For the NFL, there's no doubt the greatest of all time, John Madden. In college football, I always liked his voice, the way he talked. Keith Jackson.
I agree with that. Yeah, those are fantastic. I liked Madden. Madden was comical and funny. Nathan was Matt. John Madden was before your time, right?
John Madden was like right before my time. But obviously, I don't know. I know about John Madden, the story of Madden. Yeah, you can't deny that he's probably one of the greatest announcers and most impactful. He might be the most impactful announcer, at least in football history. I mean, he was the one who came up with like the drawing on the television screen, right?
Telestrator, yeah.
I think he's the one who came up with it.
Yeah.
The reason why I liked him is because he knew football. He said, well, watch this guard now, number 72. Now he's in a trap or he has to pull out to the outside. And then he's going to block this guy. And then here comes the right guard across the way hitting the linebacker. I mean, when the plays were being called, you could tell he had experience in coaching or experience in a game because he called the game, you know, he was very, very good at what he does. Keith Jackson was pretty good. Keith Jackson was very, very, very good in college football. But if I had to pick between the two, I would pick John Madden.
Let me ask you a question, because Howard Cosell predates me, and I know the mystique of Howard Cosell and how popular he was in the 70s. I mean, Howard Cosell is the most famous sportscaster really there's ever been, even more so than like an Al Michaels. Howard Cosell, to me, in the clips I've heard, Nebraska man, just sounds like a complete a-hole. I don't think I would have liked Howard Cosell. What was your feeling on him?
Corey, if it wouldn't have been for Muhammad Ali, there would be no Howard Cosell. When Howard Cosell did boxing, he got him and what his name was Cash and Clay. Then he went to Muhammad Ali, and Howard Cosell would always be with Muhammad Ali. It wouldn't have been for Muhammad Ali giving Howard Cosell. I really don't think he was a great announcer, and it was brought up numerous times on occasions that he had trouble getting side announcers to go with him because of his attitude and the language that he said, and he was having trouble trying to get a co TV analyst to do the games with him because a lot of people really didn't like him.
Let me say this: when I first got here, Lanny Fratteri. I'm going to bring in our next guest here on this because he's a Pirates guy and he knows everything about what I'm talking about. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. That was good stuff. I welcome in John Parado from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. And John, we have a fun topic today. I want to get to a great Brewers column that you wrote. We have a fun topic that we're doing today on our favorite broadcasters. So you have been around a bunch of great ones in Pittsburgh, John. So I want to give you a crack at this first because a caller 5 minutes ago called in and said Myron Cope. So who's your favorite broadcaster, John? I think I'm getting to you a little bit late because the button was not pushed. But John Parado from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. What we're doing, John, is we're kind of doing favorite broadcasters throughout your life. Who would you pick as your favorite guy?
I'm going to have to say Pittsburgh-wise, Myron Cope, because he was so unique and so funny and just was a lot of fun to listen to. Yeah, he had the annoying voice, and he could get a little carried away at times, but, you know, he's the guy that really sticks out to me more than anyone.
We had somebody call 5 minutes ago, and the first person said Myron Cope. And I told the story of when I moved here in 1999 and I turned on a Steelers game, this incompetent, nonsensical sounding guy was doing broadcasting. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And how did he ever get on the radio? But I'm guessing you probably knew Myron as a person, was able to be around him in the media. What was Myron really like?
Myron was a lot of fun. He's actually kind of a quiet guy. You wouldn't guess that he would go on the radio and just, you know, go on and on and on.
No, but, you wouldn't.
You know, he was a great writer. Long before he became a broadcaster, he worked at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Then he worked at Sports Illustrated for a few years and just a great writer. And you know, one of the greatest compliments I ever got when I was a young guy starting out on the baseball beat, he came up to me one day in the press box because he had a talk show weeknights on WTAE Radio, which it was at the time, and he came up to me and goes, I read your stuff, kid. You're not half bad.
Hey, that's a vote of confidence right there.
Well, I thought so. It still takes as one of the greatest compliments I ever had.
I'm not trying to be mean here. There have been a lot of great Pittsburgh broadcasters, and I actually really like Greg Brown. I think he does a tremendous job. Somebody called in a few minutes ago, and we were talking about Howard Cosell, and I said, Howard Cosell didn't do anything for me. And the guy said, well, that's because Howard was a know-it-all. Nobody wanted to work with him. He really kind of put people down. He was always correcting people. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but when I got here, Lanny Fratteri was doing Pirates games, and I found Lanny to be insufferable. I'm sure you got to know Lanny pretty well, been covering the Pirates for a long, long time. And me personally, when I listened to Lanny, I never felt all warm and cozy with Lanny. Would you think that's unfair?
No, I don't think it is. And I always describe Lanny this way. If you're home keeping a scorecard, he was the perfect guy because he would give you all the information you need and, you know, where guys are hitting in the order after double switches and all that. But from an entertainment value, not a whole lot. I mean, it just didn't have, you know, the kind of, you know, human interest and witty stories that, you know, as a radio broadcaster especially, you want to, in television to an extent, that you want to weave in over the course of a three-hour game. And he just didn't have that. And, you know, I like Lanny as a person, and I think that he was very technically a good broadcaster, but you also have to entertain besides being technically a good broadcaster.
John Parrotto has covered the Pirates for a long, long time. I don't know what the number is, John. 40 years?
38.
30, close, 38. All right. John wrote a fantastic column today at Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Pirates were swept this weekend by the Brewers, who beat Paul Skeens and then won a game 14-0. And your column was why the Brewers win and the Pirates don't. And we looked it up the other day. Milwaukee's population in the city is only like 500,000 people. It's a small market, every bit what Pittsburgh is. But I didn't fully realize you had pointed out Milwaukee's been in the playoffs 7 of the last 8 years. Why do the Milwaukee Brewers have success and the Pittsburgh Pirates are, quite frankly, a laughingstock of professional sports?
Well, the 3 points I made in my column this morning are, one, ownership. You know, I don't profess to know Mark Antanasio, the Brewers owner, real well, but I can say this. I know him better than Bob Nutting. Antanasio makes himself available. And the thing that's always struck me about Antanasio is his enthusiasm for the game and how he really wants to win. And he doesn't use the small market, you know, thing as an excuse. The takeaway I get from Bob Nutting is he really doesn't know anything about baseball. He says he cares, but you can tell it's just kind of for show that he's saying it, and he doesn't make the financial commitment to winning that you need. And then, you know, and again, nobody expects them to have a $200 or $300 million payroll. At least have a $100 million payroll and try to win.
Now, when did you interview the Brewers owner?
Various times throughout the years. I remember the first time I met him was 2008, the National League Division Series in Philadelphia. Jack Sorensic was the Brewers' farm director then, and he introduced me. And then Antanasio would come around. Sometimes he travels with the team, and I would talk to him in Pittsburgh. Not always necessarily a formal interview, just chit-chat. He was the kind of guy I'd like to just visit, talk baseball with people, unlike the Pirates owner who doesn't talk
and
baseball with anyone because he doesn't know how to talk baseball with them.
What's the last time you talked with the Brewers owner?
Oh, I want to say 4 or 5. Well, the pandemic season was 20. I would say probably either 19 or 21.
Now listen, listen to this, everybody. John Parrotto has covered the Pirates for 38 years. Are you the longest tenured beat writer there?
Yes.
When is the last time you spoke with Bob Nutting?
As far as a formal interview, 2019. A few times I've run into him and the tunnelways, you know, underneath the stadium between the clubhouses at PNC Park will exchange pleasantries. But, yeah, he has his hand-picked people he'll talk to, and I'm not one of them.
That's the thing. A guy that's covered the team for 38 years has not spoken to the owner of the franchise in 6 years. John, that really jumped out at me, along with what you mentioned about you're not sure how much Bob Nutting knows about baseball. Now, is he an easy target to say that about because he just looks nerdy and squirrely? I mean, surely he owns a baseball team. He's got to know baseball, right?
I don't think you can really have a conversation with him and say, hey, what do you think about the Astros? They're still winning this year, even though they lost Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker. I don't think he follows it on that type of basis. And I mean, it kind of tells you, and I don't mean that, I know this is going to sound bad. I don't work for a major outlet in Pittsburgh. So I'm considered like the fifth string quarterback by the Pirates and their owner and everybody but Don Kelly, who is a longtime friend of mine, the manager. I can go into the visiting clubhouses and get more people to talk to me than I can in the Pittsburgh clubhouse. It's a very, very odd dynamic, and I really can't explain it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You mentioned analytics as well in the column you wrote that the Brewers do their analytical stuff. The Pirates do their – everybody does their analytical stuff. But the Brewers maybe use some more common sense or some more human feel in what they're deciding. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, yes, very much so. The Pirates are very, very, very heavily analytic-driven to the point where basically – any roster move they make has to be ran through the analytics team and approved by the analytics people. You know, even I've had general managers from other teams tell me this, Corey, like the teams will offer like prospects to the Pirates. Okay, there's four guys. You can pick two of them, player A, B, C, and D. And sometimes the Pirates will ask for player G and H because in their way of thinking, their analytics department, these guys are better than A, B, C, and D, and the Yankees, or I guess I gave away one of my teams.
That's pretty good logic.
I mean, some of the teams, that they're like, well, why is he asking for this guy when we're offering better players?
Yeah.
And they just can't understand it. And it's just weird.
So, last thing for you, John, on the Pirates and Brewers comparison. I guess where the money comes from, I know this is very complicated with TV deals and all that stuff, but why have the Brewers been able to spend more? Does it just simply come down to the fact that Nutting just won't spend it? Or have the Brewers found a way to make more money that they can spend being a smaller market franchise?
You know, I think it's the owners willing to pay to spend to win. And the other thing is, the Brewers draw really well, and that gives them a little extra money in their coffers. And this is not intended to be a shot at Pirate fans. There are reasons for people in Milwaukee and the upper Midwest to want to go to Miller Park, or American Family Field as it's called now, because the Brewers put a competitive team on the field. People don't go to Pirate games because they know what's going to happen. But more times than not, they're going to get beat. And, that makes a big difference. And Bob has never figured out, I thought he would do this in 13, 14, and 15 when they made the wild card game and actually were drawing well, that, hey, if you put a good team on the field, more people come to the games and you'll make more money. But it just didn't sink in, apparently.
John, I'm going to ask you the toughest question I can ask you. Why on earth would anybody be a Pirates fan? Is there any? Hey, I've had this offer for 2 years out there. If you can convince me, I'll give you $50. Nobody's convinced me. I'm not saying Paul Skeens or you like O'Neill. I'm saying why would you be a Pittsburgh Pirates fan?
I think most of their fans are generational. Mm-hmm. Their fathers were fans, their grandfathers were fans. It's just passed down. But, you know, right now, I don't know. I don't know why you would be a fan, especially in today's game where games from other markets are so easily accessible on television. It wasn't like when I was growing up 40, 50 years ago. The Pirates were really the only team you saw on television except for the game of the week on NBC on Saturday afternoon. So you naturally became a Pirate fan because that's the team you saw the most. But now it's harder, and I know a lot of kids in my neighborhood, and I know this isn't a very scientific experiment, but most of them like the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox because they can watch their games on, like, you know, on MLB extra innings. So they don't have that feeling of kinship with the Pirates like I did. And of course, it also helped that the Pirates were winning when I was growing up in the 70s. They won 6 division titles in 10 years.
So you got to watch the Buccos on TV a good bit as a kid?
Yeah, they would be on. Now, it wasn't like today where every game was on. Mm-hmm. But they would probably show all road game, like hardly ever a home game. They felt that would hurt attendance. But they would show like 45 to 50 games a year on KDK Channel 2. So, I mean, you got the, you know, and it's just like you got familiar with the players. And, you know, you didn't have, like, maybe you saw the Mets 4 times a year on the game of the week, you know, on Saturday, where you saw your hometown team more than now with everything, the internet, streaming and what have you, and MLB, you know, the extra innings package. You can pretty much see every team, whatever team you want to watch that particular night.
We just did a show on this 2 weeks ago about the Braves on TBS in the 80s with Dale Murphy, mm-hmm. and then the Cubs with Ryan Sandberg on WU. Which one of those teams did you follow more?
The Braves. We, you know, our cable was a bummer. We never bought, when I was, you know, in my teen years, we first got cable, I was about, I want to say 13 or 14. We didn't get WGM. We only got TBS and we got WOR out of New York. So I watched the Braves and the Mets in my teenage years quite a bit when, you know, beside the Pirates. So I don't know if necessarily I became like a big fan of either team, but I followed both teams more than I certainly would have if we didn't have the superstations on the cable.
You think Dale Murphy ever gets in the Hall of Fame, John?
That's a tough call. You know, he was on pace for a long time, and then his career kind of just went off a cliff the last 4 or 5 years he played, and I think that's hurt him. His numbers are probably a little shy of what you look for in a Hall of Famer, but I would not be opposed to him getting in. I mean, he was, you know, for about 4 years there, the best player in baseball, and, you know, a lot of all-star games and MVP award. And, you know, I certainly think that you can make a case that he should be in. You know, you can really, it's a tough call. You can make a strong case either way.
Will he at some point get the benefit of the doubt because everybody loves him as a human being?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to take a while. Unfortunately, you know, you look at Dick Allen and Dave Parker.
Yep.
They went in this year and both, you know, went in posthumously and, you know, both would have been in their 70s. And, you know, you just hope it's not before it's too late, you know, it's after the fact that people decide. And it's really, it's not up to the writers anymore. It's up to the, like, New Era Committee and those committees appointed by the Hall of Fame. So that's really where it's going to come down to, is what his peers and historians think of his career.
Hey, always enjoy catching up with you, my man. It was a great piece today. I find it fascinating when you compare apples to apples, but you end up getting two different fruits right there with the Pirates and the Brewers. I thought that was an excellent piece. Thank you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the season, pal.
You bet, Corey. Thanks for having me.
All right, John Prado from Pittsburgh Baseball
enjoy?
Now.
Oh, I don't know if he can enjoy
it. Yeah, it's tough to enjoy the Pirates.
I don't know.
But, you know, you read the piece, and listening to him, and I know you don't know John Nathan, but it is fascinating because we talk about these things all the time. You know, Ohio State should be good, right? They've got every resource available. Well, Michigan should be good. They've got every resource available. Penn State should be good. They've got every resource available. The Tampa Bay Rays should not be good. The Tampa Bay Rays are good because they're smarter than most people. The Oakland A's, quite frankly, you know, and I know they've dipped for the last years, but they had a really good run.
Yeah.
When they probably shouldn't have.
They were a perennial playoff team.
They were just kind of smarter than everybody. To me, I look at it like the Brewers should not really be good. The Dodgers are not even in first place now. The Dodgers have $1 trillion to spend. They fell out of first place, I believe, last night. I'm pretty sure that's right. And the Brewers have the best record in baseball. That should not be. You know what I'm saying? Given the limitations they have in a small market with what we've been brainwashed to believe with the Pirates forever, the Brewers should not be that good.
That's just what happens whenever you develop players correctly, you scout players correctly. It's concerning to me that this analytics, I didn't realize what the analytics team is taking prospects, not even like a top four prospect they're offering, and they're trying to, you know, find the diamond in the rough. And I guarantee these players never, that's concerning. I'd never heard that before.
That's a great story.
That is crazy.
So I'm going to offer you, okay, so here's the deal. And I have to leave about a few minutes early, so Nathan's going to take over here after the break, but I want to finish with this. So I'm going to give you $100 or $90 or $89 or $88, and you have to pick which two of those you want. And you're coming back to me, I'll take the $43. That's what we're talking about.
That's
here.
That's what the Pirates are doing.
Apparently, that's what the Pirates are doing.
They think they're finding the diamond in the rough when it's
I'm going to take the $43 that I think I can turn into $101, even though we suck at doing that.
It's the life of rooting for the Pirates.
Well, how many times have you heard me say it? Why on earth would anybody root for the Pirates?
I don't know. I don't know. Unless it's a generational thing, nobody in, I don't know, anywhere in this country pretty much is just going to pick up being a Pirates fan. You're going to pick up being a Yankees fan. You're going to pick up being a Dodgers fan.
You could watch Paul Skeens for Paul Skeens. Hey, real quick, because I have to get out of here a few minutes early, your favorite play-by-play broadcaster or color commentator?
I think I'm going to save that for the people to hear.
Okay, there you go. So you're going to save it. So I will share this. I've told this story.
It's a controversial one. So
okay.
It's controversial.
Okay. Don't be ripping on Dick Vitale, or I'm going to come back and throw something at you. But so I grew up in the 80s with the Cubs, and everybody associates Harry Carey with Cubs broadcasts. And Harry was very funny. He was probably drunk 75% of the time on the air. He was a nut, but he was a legend. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's an absolute legend. But I was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. I'm trying to learn baseball, and I'm watching every single game. I'm digesting. I'm not a 12-year-old kid trying to laugh at the drunken ramblings of an old man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to learn baseball. So Steve Stone was the color commentator. He's now with the White Sox, but he's been doing it forever. Former AL Cy Young winner. I grew up with Steve Stone explaining what was happening on the baseball field and why they did it and what the hitters were thinking and what the pitchers were thinking and what the defenders were thinking. And Steve walked a very tight line. And those of you who are old enough, if you watch Cubs games with Steve and Harry, Steve didn't correct Harry. Harry was a nut job, okay? Harry would make all kinds of mistakes. It's like you and I. When I make all kinds of mistakes, you're not over there correcting me because I'll throw this bottle of water at you. But no, it's not the person's place
to be correcting
kind of the star of the show, which was Harry Carey. Mm. But Steve Stone, for what I was looking for as a teenage boy describing baseball, I've said this many times, I learned the game of baseball from Steve Stone, from watching the players on the field and having him explain to me 150 times a year for 15 years. We're talking, that's 750 games, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's more than that. That's 1,200 games. My math was bad. So I grew up with that, and I got to meet Steve Stone.
I didn't correct you.
Yeah, you're right. Let me do 150 times 15. It's 2250. Yeah, so I finally got to meet Steve in 1998 at a Braves Cubs game, and I told him now it was, you know, he's not a superstar, but that meant a lot to me because I think a lot of the baseball knowledge I have in my entire life is because of that guy.
Yeah, my favorite broadcaster has no association to, like, being, you know, teaching me the sport growing up.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's...
You're going to share it here after the break.
I'm going to share it after, but that's a really good, you know, story and connection. So would you say he's your favorite broadcaster? Not Harry Carey.
Hey, you know, it's definitely not Harry Carey. No, I tolerate Harry. I missed school in 1987. Harry missed the first part of the season with, I think, a heart attack, and... when he came back, President Reagan was there. President Reagan went to Wrigley to be with Harry Carey when he came back. Okay, that's how big of a... So I skipped school that day. Now, whether my mom let me or I just did it, I'd been 13. That'd probably been 7th grade.
You were sick.
But I skipped school to watch Harry Carey's return. But no, Steve Stone was my guy.
All right, that's good. That's a good pull right there.
Nathan's going to finish up with you. I got to go to soccer practice here. Ooh. So 946-0435, you want to weigh in anything with Nathan?
Austin Cindric is on, and he is talking about dirty air in racing.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation, and I hate to inform everyone that it's not going away. and by that, I mean every racing series that you watch in the world, even if you watch a sprint car race on a dirt track, they're dealing with dirty air. If you watch, hell, I'll drive my go-kart and lose the nose because of aero wash. So that's racing. Yeah, there's definitely certain levels of turbulent air and what the effect is. You know, I think there's two main things, you know, differences as far as watching a race on Saturday, watching a race on Sunday. That's how you affect cars that are around you. I feel like in the Xfinity car, the old gen car with the longer rear quarter panels, you could definitely affect the car in front of you by your proximity a lot more so than you can in our cars. On the flip side, you know, taking air off each other's doors in the truck and Xfinity car also affects the racing and has actually led to having more side by side, you know, for longer in our cars, whether that's good, bad, better, and different. But I think to my second point would be, we are all so similar and so competitive with one another that it's difficult to differentiate yourself. I mean, that's the nature of having a highly competitive series.
This is the final lap.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your really expensive limited edition sneakers and your new suit for your cousin's wedding. Except you never actually bought the suit because you can't stop buying sneakers. So you show up to the wedding looking like you're going grocery shopping. But hey, at least your sneakers will look good in the pictures. Until you're cropped out of every last one of them. So go ahead and get Progressive, so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Have you tried hands-free Skechers slip-ins yet? Because if you haven't, you're missing out on technology that changes how you think about shoes. First, these are not just regular slip-on shoes. They're not just a pair of loafers without laces. But what makes them different is the technology inside that lets you just step into them. There's a built-in hidden shoehorn that slides your foot in, so they look, feel, and wear just like a pair of shoes you're used to. Except you don't have to bend down, struggle to put them on, or touch them. Try them at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
Hank FM.
right, welcome back to Sports Central here. Nathan Ferlina now going solo. Want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsors. As always, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. You know where to go get your tobacco products. Head on out there. J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Open select hours during the week and always open online at J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. So again, check them out. Phone lines open 946-0435. Weighing in on your favorite sports play-by-play announcer of all time. So I came up with a couple names when Corey presented the question. My first thought, and it's a controversial one, but there's just something about it. I like listening to his voice, is Joe Buck. I know a lot of people are going to hate that answer because Joe Buck is a highly polarized figure when it comes to sports announcing. Maybe it's because I think the dynamic between him and whoever he was in the booth with, whether it was Troy Aikman for football, whether it was John Smoltz for baseball, it just worked well. I liked Joe Buck. I liked listening to him, and it always was in a, you know, that 425 slot for the NFL on Fox until they flipped to Monday Night Football. But it's always during a marquee matchup, Joe Buck would be commentating it. And he has the iconic call. Yeah, he has the Randy Moss mooning the Packer. I think that's one of the most hilarious calls of all times, because if you were just listening on the radio, you would think that Randy Moss committed a war crime to the Packers fans compared to what actually happened, where he was just mooning the crowd and, you know, heated rivalry, stuff like that. But Joe Buck, to me, just something about listening to him, and maybe it's just nostalgia from that 425 slot on a Sunday afternoon, but I love Joe Buck. Another name that came to mind, sticking with football, Chris Fowler. And again, I think it comes back to he's the voice of a lot of marquee matchups and night games, big-time night games, him and Herb Street on the call. Again, just kind of classic college football, at least obviously a lot of you are much older listening than I am. But growing up, it's been Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit in the booth, 7:30 on ABC, in which it's the biggest game of the week. I mean, something about that just hits home every single time. Then you also, whenever play video games, you got them in college football, the video game too, so you hear that voice too. It kind of resonates with you as well. So, you know, that's another name. And the final one I got, and this might be a curveball to a lot of you folks, because we don't talk about this sport too often, but again, the Penguins were good in the 2010s, and you had Doc Emrick calling these games. Doc Emrick, man, I think he just retired a couple years ago. I looked him up, he's 79 years old. I didn't realize he was 79, but that's a name that I rarely ever hear mentioned. But man, he was an excellent play-by-play announcer for hockey in general. I believe he was on NBC. Yeah, NBC and NBCSN. Again, I can hear those calls in my mind. I can hear, you know, the Penguins, in which they're actually good at that point, competing, and Doc's on the call, and, you know, it's a big-time game, whether it's, you know, a Stanley Cup game or whether it's a playoff game or something like that. You hear that voice, and, man, iconic stuff. So I think what comes back to me is just voices of my childhood, and it's not like a local media like a lot of you, you know, you grew up with Myron Cope and obviously Corey with Harry Carey. It's not, you know, you grew up with the voices for your local radio. It's much more national now, so that's really what I got to go off of. But I mean, those guys, they're in the house every single week, and I just loved listening to them. Like I said, the Joe Buck one, you know, people argue on all the time, Joe Buck, you know, whether you like him or dislike him, but I don't think you can take anything away from him. And listen, I'm sure his dad is exponentially proud of Joe and what he's done in his broadcasting career. And like I said, Doc for hockey, Penguins being good, that'll always resonate with me, because those were like the real first championships I experienced. Because, I mean, I vaguely remember the Steelers against the Cardinals, but not like I was invested in with the Penguins. But yeah, those are just a couple names. And then, like I said, Chris Fowler, when you're just talking about college football and a fandom right there, man, him and Herbie on Saturday nights doesn't get much better than that.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Voted hometown favorite, ARC Federal Credit Union is proud to support our community. With youth accounts, student loans, annual scholarships, and business loans tailored just for you. With over 200 five-star Google reviews and a commitment to local youth sports, ARC is the credit union that believes in you and your future. Visit arcfcu.org today. Your hometown credit union, where community comes first.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hank FM!
Got the Blues Travelers bringing us into the final segment right here. Corey loves that song, the hook song. That's basically about nothing, but always brings you back to the hook. Want to thank John Prado for joining us, talking a little Pirates and, you know, the apples to apples comparison between them and the Brewers, and how the Brewers, a small market team, are the best team in baseball. And we're stuck with Bob Nutting and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, yeah, it sucks, but it is what it is. And who knows how many more times we're actually going to talk about the Pirates this year, because we got football right on the horizon, just 9 days out, 8 days out. Yeah, 9 days. I'd be 9 days out because, yeah, a week from Saturday. So yeah. 9 days out from football. So super excited. Penn State now just 16 days away. Want to thank J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars, as always, too, our presenting sponsor. We appreciate them keeping the show running. Check them out for all your tobacco needs. Me and Corey will be back tomorrow. Who knows what we'll discuss, but, you know, we did talk some sports today, so I guess we stuck true to the name. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. And hopefully, guys, we'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 5 every single day here during the week, Sports Central, with Corey Geiger and Nathan Luna. Join us. Appreciate you guys listening.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.